Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the war for the free world at the moment, there is a community, a population, I guess you might say, that is in grave peril in the Middle East, most especially, but actually globally. It is a community that is known for its faith rather than its ethnic or national identities, which makes this truly a global problem. That is the persecution of Christians. A man who is doing for his government an incredibly important job of trying to make a material difference in the lot in life of persecuted Christians, specifically in the Middle East at the moment, is our guest for this full and, I'm hoping, very impactful conversation. He is Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians of the Nation of Hungary. His name is Tristan Azbay. He has a PhD in geosciences from Virginia Tech, which, as he's pointed out to me off air, makes him a Hokie. But he is also, by training and experience, a diplomat who has served in his country's foreign ministry. He is now in a super ministry, which is entitled the Ministry of Human Capacities. And I had the privilege of meeting him briefly in a conference before Christmas, and I'm so thrilled to have him with us to talk about what Hungary is doing and what the rest of us must do on behalf of persecuted Christians around the world. Tristan Azbay, very good to have you with us, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit.
Good evening. Hello from Budapest, and thanks for having me.
Well, it is a distinct privilege to have you, and I wanted to say right out of the box, thank you for what you and your government are doing. And you told a story along with Stephen Rosh, who is with the Chaldean Catholic Archdiocese of Erbil, at this conference that was sponsored by the Hudson Institute and the Anglosphere Society in the middle of December, about a town called Telskuf in Iraq. Would you tell us the story of what was going on there and what your government did to help?
Okay, so to jump in the middle, let's talk about Telskuf, which is in the Nineveh region of Iraq. This is the region where traditionally Christians have been living in that part of the world for 2,000 years. In the Nineveh region, just 15 years ago, there have been 1.5 million Christians, and today there are only less than 300,000. This is a tragic and a striking number. And it shows that if we don't act or do something, that after living there for 2,000 years, Christian communities will disappear during our lifetime from Iraq while we watch and do nothing. And this is something the Hungarian government took upon itself as a responsibility to address this tragic phenomenon of persecution of Christians.
And just tell us, Tristan, if I could just interrupt for a second, who is doing the persecution on the Nineveh Plains at the moment?
At the Nineveh Plains, it was Daesh, the terrorist group that calls itself Islamic State. For example, the settlement called Telskuf we are talking about, which was a pure Christian town, has been occupied by ISIS in 2014. Everybody who could has fled from the town, so it became completely deserted. Later, during the battles and the ongoing wars, the several hundreds of houses have been destroyed. By now, from the military sense, the Islamic State terrorist organization has been dismantled. But as we have experienced on our trip recently to the region, the ideology is still there.
The ideology is indeed still there. And tell us, before we jump into what's happening at the moment, and there's some quite dramatic aspects to that part of the story, but when ISIS was still very much a factor, the people of Telskof were obviously targeted by them. I'm told that the Islamic State would paint on the doors of Christians' homes the letter Nun, I guess it's called in Arabic. It's roughly translates into N in English. The first letter, of course, of the word Nazarene, which is used as a kind of pejorative term for Christians in that part of the world. When these ISIS operatives, Tristan Azbay, were at large and doing this sort of persecution of Christians in places like Telskof, what actually happened there, and what became of the Christians who were living there at that time?
Well, the people of Telskof could consider themselves lucky compared to the tragic victims of the murderous massacres committed by the terrorists of Islamic State. So they have managed to flee Telskof. But it wasn't like that in many parts of Iraq or Syria. Many Christians have been mass murdered. This is something that we call a genocide, and this is something we want the whole world to recognize as a genocide. But returning to Telskof and some other, if you can say that, luckier Christian communities, many of them has been given two chances, either convert or either flee or either pay the specific punishment tax imposed upon Christians and the jizya on Christians and other communities. Nevertheless, the people of Telskof, about 1,300 families have flown from the town and have fled from the town. And this is where the Hungarian government stepped in through the program I am leading. And as a pilot project, we provided approximately $2 million to rebuild the town.
So the town was emptied of its population and then destroyed, effectively, I guess, or seriously damaged. And your government, and again, we're speaking with the Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians of Hungary, Tristan Azbay, your government stepped in and simply made $2 million available for the purposes of trying to do what exactly?
To reconstruct the town. You know, we have this aid program we call Hungary Helps, and we have three governing principles. All of them have been called very innovative. We think it's only common sense. The first governing principle is honest dialogue. So what we have done before providing this aid, we have visited these communities, talked to the church leaders, invited them to Hungary, and asked how we may help. And from that, it became clear that the best way to help them is to provide funds for rebuilding so that they can return to their homelands. So a second governing principle is that we give aid for what is really needed. We are not trying to be smarter than the people we are trying to help. So we provide mainly aid for humanitarian causes, but also for reconstruction processes. And the third governing principle that we follow during our support policy is that we give the aid directly to the communities. We don't use big convoluted middleman organizations and international organizations and agencies, because we don't trust that the aid will actually make it to the minority groups. So this is what we do. And one example, our flagship project, if I may call that, is the rebuilding of Telskof.
Yeah. When we come back after a short break, I want to ask you about what almost happened to Telskov and the importance of that direct involvement and the leaving out the middleman and what our own government here in the United States seems to be now inclined to do in the way of following your lead. We'll be right back with more with Tristan Azbay. Dr. Azbay is a senior official at the Hungarian government responsible for aiding persecuted Christians. Fascinating story and great leadership. We'll talk more about it in a moment, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We are speaking for a full hour, a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio with Tristan Azbay. Dr. Azbay is a senior official in the Hungarian Ministry of Human Capacities, a super ministry as it's known. His particular portfolio is that of aiding persecuted Christians. His rank is that of a deputy state secretary. A remarkable man. I had the privilege of meeting him a month or so ago, and I'm very keen to tell the next part of this story of the town of Telskov in Iraq and what the Hungarian government has been able to do to not only help rebuild a community of Christians that was essentially dispossessed of their town and much of it destroyed, but also to protect it against the folks who are now rampaging in that part of the country, this Kurdish areas of Iraq. Pick up the story, if you would, Tristan, with what happened just as you got the place rebuilt and Christians were resettling in their homes.
Yes, so just as families started to return to the rebuilt Telskov, our own project became endangered by the fact that it became right in the zone of the clash between the Kurdish Peshmerga and the Shia militias. It was the aftermath of the big Syrian-Iraqi civil war and war against the Islamic State terrorist organizations. But thanks for quick diplomatic response led by the United States, the clashes within the town has ceased, so we managed to save the project. And by the end, at this moment, out of the 1,300 families that has fled the Telskov when ISIS came in, more than 1,000 families returned to this small town.
And as I recall the story, and I think it was Stephen Rush who told it, from his vantage point with the Chaldean Catholic Archdiocese of Erbil in Iraq, the Shiite militias backed by Iran, nominally in the service of Iraq, were poised to attack the town, which had some Peshmerga units in it, as I understand, and they moved out. But then they came back in. Is that right? And it was a near-run thing that you might have had the whole thing undone again. Is that roughly what happened? And explain what went down.
Yeah, yes, this is what happened. Yes, so first the town of Telskov was freed from ISIS. And then immediately almost our aid program has started to rebuild the town and several hundreds of family homes that were destroyed. And our project proved to be successful. But then when we had 800 families returning to Telskov, there suddenly violence and exchange of fire has broken out between the Kurdish Peshmerga forces and the Shia militias. And even in the Telskov during those that exchange of fires, we had innocent Christian children, two children injured. They just, you know, got caught up in the line of fire, which highly alarmed us. And it's not only about our aid program; it's about the general fate of the Christians in Iraq. Because As I mentioned earlier, there are approximately only 300,000 Christians who remained in Iraq out of the 1.5 million, but most of them are living as IDPs, internally displaced persons, yes, who are waiting to see if they have a chance to return to their homelands, and if they not, if they won't see future in their homeland proven, then they will just join the migration flow, and eventually all the Christians will disappear. So this is where we stood at the moment when we got the alarming news from Telskov. We could see the whole process, the whole alarming process in one town, when we had all the people returning, and we were highly worried about them having to flee again and then never return, probably because they don't see the chance of a safe and free life.
Now, as I recall the story, the Peshmerga had largely pulled out of the areas where they were likely to run into conflict with these Shia militia, but they came into Telskov and were apparently prepared to fight, to exchange gunfire and perhaps bring about the destruction of the town that you'd helped rebuild with your aid from Hungary all over again. And they were prevailed upon to disengage, and the Shia militia as well, as a result of your diplomatic efforts and those of our government. Is that also, a correct reconstruction of what happened?
Yes, it is. It was a very prompt diplomatic answer from the United States and also us. But of course, the diplomatic capacities of the United States must have been decisive in this case. So somehow we, or the diplomatic bodies active, managed to convince the fighting forces to take the actions of battle out of the town, which is partly, I consider that a divine miracle. That
I do too, but in part it's also a tribute to the leadership that you and Hungary have exhibited. And the reason I wanted to drill down on this story is, as you know, Tristan, the government of the United States under President Trump has recently decided that it too will be making aid available directly to those Christian populations being persecuted, and not to go through the United Nations, for example, the expensive and cumbersome and also not terribly honest intermediaries that you spoke of a moment ago. I want to capture this thought, though, for our audience, because this is such a big problem, as you know so well, not just in towns in the Nineveh Plains of Iraq or even in the Middle East, but truly worldwide. And I think what you all have done to make plain and very explicit, notably in the creation of your own job, the priority assigned to trying to help these Christians is really a model for governments, including that of the United States. So I'd like you to talk a little bit more about how you see this practice that you've sort of introduced of direct aid to the people needing it, being guided by what it is that they need, and the importance of steering clear of these expensive and cumbersome intermediaries.
Okay, now the example of Telskov, of people returning to the town and now currently living again there, is proves that our model is successful. But you have to know that Hungary is a small country. We are the size of the state of Indiana. We are in Eastern Europe with less resources than the bigger Western European Union member states. So we are aware of the fact that we can only set a model, we can only set an example, but we are not going to manage to solve the whole crisis. In Telskov, we have rebuilt a little bit less than 1,000 buildings, but only in the Nineveh region of Iraq, according to the aid of the church in Nineveh, there are 13,000 buildings that has to be rebuilt.
Well, hold this thought, because we're going to come back to what nations like ours, and for that matter, those of Europe and elsewhere in the civilized world, the free world, as I call it, can do. We'll talk about that and much more with Dr. Tristan Azbe, the Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians in Hungary, right after this.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined by Tristan Azbe, the Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians of Hungary. And he's been sharing with us some of his insights and experiences and recommendations about how to aid persecuted Christians, something that his own country, a relatively small country in Eastern Europe, has been taking the lead on. But it comes as we're celebrating today the success of the Trump administration in getting the confirmation by the United States Senate yesterday of Sam Brownback as the new ambassador at large for international religious freedom. This is a signal accomplishment. He's a great public servant, has stepped down now as the governor of the state of Kansas. And his confirmation was secured when the former governor of the state of Indiana, Mike Pence, now the vice president of the United States, cast the deciding vote. As we're talking, Tristan, I wonder if you could develop a little more fully the kinds of recommendations that you are making to others, including hopefully now Sam Brownback, as to steps that could be usefully taken to help this population of Christians around the world who are suffering at the hands of both governments and non-governmental entities, the Islamic State, among them Al-Qaeda, the like, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Chinese Communist Party, among others. Your advice, I think, could be incredibly important at this moment when we have a new ambassador at large. What would you say to Sam Brownback?
Okay, well, if I may make recommendations, my first recommendation would be a political one. We need to break down the wall of silence built around Christian persecution in the world, because we cannot treat the problem as it is neglected, and people try to keep it secret, or more like not people, more like certain political powers and then governments and then parties are trying to do so.
Let me ask you, Tristan, why is that, as you see it? Why is it that governments are turning a blind eye or pretending there's not a problem here?
We claim, our position is that the reason for that is that the persecution of Christians, the fact that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world, just does not fit the liberal, so-called PC, dishonest political agenda, which tries to portray Christianity in the world as the aggressive, dominant religion. You know, the religion that limits the lives of other minorities and then try to tell people what's right or not, and otherwise they try to link it to the crusaders of the medieval ages, which is not the case in 2017.
Needless to say. So finish your thought, if you would, as to beyond recognizing that it is a problem, beyond discussing it as a crisis, a genocide, in fact, in some parts of the world, what is it you would call on the United States government, Sam Brownback as its representative, and others to do?
Okay, my second recommendation would be to engage in a direct and personal discussion and get first-hand experience. So I am the Deputy State Secretary leading this program, but I have a minister leading my work, and most government officers who deal with this program in the Hungarian government, we have actually made a trip to the crisis regions, we have made a trip to the war zones to see and talk to the leaders of the Christian communities, and it was absolutely necessary to see their situation and their real need.
You've also sponsored in Hungary, I know, at least one major conference on this subject. I believe it was back in October. And your prime minister, who is an extraordinary leader on this and on so many other issues, Viktor Orban, made a very powerful address there. Would you talk about some of the main themes of his remarks, Tristan Özbay, and the sort of call to action that he sounded?
Okay, so our position is that currently there are two big crisis regions in the world. One is the humanitarian crisis zone, where, for example, Christian minorities, Christian people are being persecuted and murdered because of their faith. So that's a humanitarian crisis zone. But the other one is in the Western world. In the Western world that supposedly Christian-rooted, that was once proud of its Christian heritage and built on the very basic principles of Christianity, but finally diverged from it. And now it's turning against its own Christian identity. So this crisis zone we call the Christian identity zone, which leads to the idea is that we have two things to do. First, save the persecuted Christians of the Middle East, of Asia and Africa, but also to return to the roots, follow our Christian heritage and strengthen our own identity. Otherwise, the invasion of non-Christian migrants to Europe and to the Western world eventually will wipe out the Western culture.
And this is, of course, something that I want to turn to next, is really the leadership of your boss, your ultimate boss, the prime minister, especially in making the case for Western civilization, in not just what my former longtime mentor and colleague Donald Rumsfeld used to call the New Europe, especially in contradistinction to the old Europe and its attitudes on these issues. But did I interrupt you on other recommendations you'd like to make before we turn to that topic? Because I do want to cover it. But what else would you have us do with respect to the persecuted Christians problem?
Yes, my third recommendation is, based on the second, direct talk. Actually learning about the situation of these Christian communities and asking them how we may help, which leads to, in our experience, leads to the means of support to them. We always need to help where the need is the most imminent and most important. So first, we give humanitarian aid. So the people who are in the IDP camps, they can survive somehow and can, live a life worthy of human life. But second, we have to listen to them. And what they tell us is that they want to return to their homelands, the land of their ancestors. So that's why we focus most of our financial support to the rebuilding and the reconstruction process. And also, Hungary takes part in the security, the military missions to the Middle East, for example. In Kurdistan, the Hungarian military contingent is the fourth biggest. So this is how to provide a safe life.
Yeah, this is such an important point, and it's so helpful, I think, for us to hear what your experiences have been, Tristan Özbay, that the answer is not to, as we're often told, bring these folks here, let alone bring here large numbers of people who are actually responsible for the oppression or persecution of these folks. This is a formula for very profound problems internally in countries like yours and ours, as well as a real disservice, it seems, to the people who are most immediately affected, who wish to stay in their homeland, who wish to simply find a secure and, economically viable way for doing that. And your leadership, an example in trying to help that be done in places in Iraq most especially, is really salutary. We're going to have to pause for another moment for our final segment with Tristan Özbey. We're going to talk a bit more about what's happening in Europe and why the Urban model is so important there for Western civilization and Christianity, as well as for the rest of us beyond. That and much more with the Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians of Hungary, Tristan Özbey, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are visiting with Tristan Özbey. He is the Deputy Secretary of the Super Ministry for Human Capacities of the Government of Hungary with the portfolio of aiding persecuted Christians. He is a Hokie, a PhD from Virginia Tech, and diplomat who has served his country in the Middle East, notably in Israel. But a very, very impressive young man focusing on a global problem of the genocidal and other horrific actions that are being taken against Christians. And I wanted just to pick up on something we touched on in that last block, Tristan, and that was what's happening inside Europe at the moment and the threat that your government perceives to Christianity and Christian civilization there as a result of the immigration crisis and what is flowing from it.
We usually link our humanitarian policy in the Middle East and in the crisis regions to our migration policy in the European Union. So you should know that from the first day of this recent migration crisis, Hungary got hit really hard as we are the first member state country of the European Union on the southeastern migration route, talking about the main block of the European Union. So, and we have seen what happened on our borders. So even those supporters of mass migration, such as some political parties in Brussels and in Western governments, and also some organizations like the Open Societies Foundations, they try to portray this migration flow as a flow of refugee families. But we have seen in the Hungarian border is that it didn't look like that at all. It looked like more like an invasion of usually young single men coming from not only from the Middle East, but from other regions of Asia where there is no, war going on. They came from the economic benefits of the European Union. Now, on the Hungarian border, on the peak, we had thousands of illegal migrants crossing the border every day. And the situation became unbearable. So we tried to fulfill our obligations imposed on us by the European Union of protecting the external border of the European Union. And this is something that will resonate very well in the United States. We built a fence at the border, and in the course of one day, the number of illegal migrants crossing into Hungary and therefore the area of the European Union decreased from thousands to zero a day. So it worked.
Walls can, in fact, make a significant difference. And Tristan, as you've been working on this, you have, of course, been buffeted by the reality that this is a project that is being enabled by Turkey. I'm struck by the fact that Turkey is attacking Christians in Syria as we speak, on the one hand, and you've been also under some considerable pressure from the European Union not to have a fence and not to impede the flow of these migrants. You may not be able to talk about this in much detail, but I welcome your thoughts because they bear on the future of Europe, really, don't they?
Yes, it's true. And let me add one thing to that. Once we have fulfilled our obligations to protect the external borders of the European Union, we were somewhat expecting recognition for that. I mean, we were following EU policy. And instead of that, what we experienced was quite the contrary. We received criticism for our strict but right immigration policy. We have been called inhumane, barbaric. We have been even called racist, which is utterly unjust. It's not right. But so maybe I can make up for this bad PR we have received for only doing our fulfilling our responsibilities and tell you that what we do in the Middle East and in the crisis regions, namely reconstruction and humanitarian aid, is something we consider as an alternative to the migration policy of Brussels and some Western countries, namely that sort of migration policy that would take the masses inside Europe. Instead of bringing the problem to Europe and to the Western world, we are believing to take the help where the problem is, take the help to the source region of migration. So that is our main position, and this is our main point.
Well, this is, an important insight for our country as well, because what President Trump, of course, has been trying to do is to exercise control of our borders to prevent an invasion, if you will, even if it's of a smaller scale, from bringing into this country people who, as he put it, don't share our values, seek to mutate our country beyond recognition. In fact, in the case of the most problematic, to force us to submit to their doctrine, I think is best described as Sharia supremacism. And whether this is happening in the Middle East or whether this is happening in Europe or whether this is happening in this country, it is a very serious threat to this civilization we have known and prized for its attachment to Judeo-Christian values and traditions and institutions. Let me ask you in closing, as we finish this conversation, there is an effort underway now with, I think, Hungary's very strong leadership to forge a broader sort of regional awareness of these issues and willingness to challenge the political correctness and to secure borders and to, well, to some extent, defy the diktat of Brussels and the European Union. It's known, I guess, as the Visegrad Group. It seems to be expanding. The Austrians, I think, have got a new government that sounds like they may wish to be part of this or at least align with it. Even Bavaria in Germany has signaled sympathies along these lines. Your thoughts about what this might mean in terms of new Europe sort of holding fast and perhaps enabling old Europe to do rather better as well?
Yes, we are seeing European immigration policy and politicians' positions split into two, really. We have some Western European politicians and governments who support migration. Perhaps it has to do with them being colonizing powers in the world earlier, so they are more open to masses coming into European countries from other cultures other than the Christian-rooted cultures. But there is another opinion which is stronger and stronger in Eastern European Union member states and eventually some Central European Union member states as well. And the idea is that we have seen what mass migration can cause. We have seen the parallel societies forming in some European countries. We have seen the no-go zones forming. And we have also seen terrorism, GRD terrorism rising in the European Union. And we want to protect our nations and our countries and our people from that. Therefore, we want to have the right to choose who we want to live with. It's that simple.
It is that simple, and yet it is seemingly so complicated for so much of the world, and that's because, I guess, of this notion of submission to these folks who would impose that kind of Sharia program on us if they can. I'm so grateful to you for your time today, Tristan Özbay, and for the leadership that you and your government are providing on so many of these really important issues. I commend you for your service as Deputy Secretary of State for the Aid of Persecuted Christians in Hungary, and I hope that we'll be able to continue this conversation often in 2018. Your leadership is needed here as well as there. God bless you, sir. We'll talk with you again soon. I hope we'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.